In that early period of the epidemic, scientists launched decades of mistakes when they noticed first that specific disease-fighting cells in the immune system, namely T cells, were not functioning or were decimated in gay men. The technology that identified T cells had only recently been discovered. This would turn out to be analogous to the joke about the drunk looking for his keys under the only light in a parking lot. It would turn out to be malware. AIDS would turn out to be so much more than a T-cell problem. Many terrified gay men started going to their doctors to find out whether anything was wrong with their T-cells, and to my chagrin, at the time it seemed like everyone I talked to, who had a T-cell test, found out that they were suffering from a T-cell deficiency. Now wondering what was going on in the immune system of only gay men would be more malware within the malware. It was hard at the time not to wonder apocalyptically if gay men were all were going to get this disease and die. In the early days of any horrifying epidemic, it seems like anything is possible. Unfortunately, it was mostly gay American men who were running to their doctors. If the whole country had followed suit, history might have turned out differently. Had he known about the so-called chronic fatigue syndrome epidemic at that point, we would have been talking about gay men as having an extreme or acute form of the immune dysfunction that had been seen in the chronic fatigue syndrome patients. That antivirus program would come later. Recognition of the connection to chronic fatigue syndrome might have been the perfect antiviral for the malware back then, but it was not meant to be. In the early days of the epidemic, everything about AIDS was gay, gay, gay. You could see what was happening in the vicious jokes that were circulating. Why is common sense like AIDS? Some are born with it while others have to get it pounded into them. How do you turn a fruit into a vegetable? AIDS. What's meaner than a pit bull with AIDS? The guy that gave it to him. From 1981 to early 1983, every kind of scientific hypothesis in the world was discussed as the possible cause of AIDS. Everyone was a theoretician. As a publisher eager to know every possibility and to share them with the readers of New York Native, I was willing to listen to anyone who had an idea. I felt that the right answer could come from anywhere. Some people thought that AIDS was caused by recreational drug use. Every fact, real or suspected, about gay people would feed the beast of malware. If someone had come to me in the early days and said, "Did you know that heterosexuals all over the country are going to their doctors with mysterious immunological problems and they are calling it chronic fatigue syndrome?" I would have connected the dots immediately. Epidemics never have a second chance to make a first impression. One thing that never went away was the false idea that AIDS was a sexually transmitted disease, and the gay community fell for it hook, line, and sinker. People always looked at the epidemic through gay STD glasses. That was the malware at the very center of an epidemic of scarlet letter lies.
Welcome to the age of not knowing what is really true. No one knows where to turn or what to do. Welcome to the age of finger pointing and blame. And every kind of shame. Welcome to the scarlet letter game. There's so much fear, nothing is clear, and nothing is ever gonna be the same when you're trapped in a scarlet letter game. You experts rule the day. Every night a few of us fade away. We have to believe should not. You say if we don't listen, none of us survives. You're in charge, we're trusting you with our lives. We don't know where to turn in this age of blame and shame. Trapped in the scarlet letter game. We're all trapped in the scarlet letter game. Even when it's totally absurd, we have to believe your every word. We don't want to die. When you say jump, we ask how.